There are certain of the righteous servants of God that we're told about in God's Word that have very special descriptive terms attached to their names. The first one that we read about in that manner is Enoch in Genesis chapter 5 and verses 22 and 24. We all know Enoch as Enoch walked with God. David, we all know David from that description of him in 1 Samuel 13, also in Acts 13, a man after God's own heart. Abraham, well, he's one that is known by two descriptive terms. He's known as the father of the faithful. He's also the one that was called a friend of God. In Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8, he said, "But thou, Israel art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." And then James 2 verse 23 says that Abraham was called the friend of God. And so that's a very special designation given to Abraham. That does not mean that these particular terms that are used for those other righteous, those righteous servants of God are things that we cannot attain ourselves. In fact, that's why we're given them as examples. We can walk with God. We can be someone after God's own heart. We can be a friend of God. But when we look at those examples that God singles out and says, this one particularly is an example of this, then we need to look at those examples and learn from them. And we certainly can from Abraham as being a friend of God as we look at the rest of the scriptures that teach us those principles and the things that we need to know so that we can walk in the steps of Abraham, so that we can also be a friend of God. So yes, there are things that we must do in order to be a friend of God like Abraham was. That is going to begin with our deciding that we're not going to be a friend of anyone or anything else. Of course, we have to understand that in the proper context of the teaching of God's Word. Are we supposed to love everyone? Are we supposed to love one another? Absolutely. That's part of our being a friend of God. But what about to have somebody else or anything else that we love or are a friend of, independent of being a friend of God and seeking and serving Him? No, we can't do that. This is something that He tells us in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. Luke 14 verse 26. "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Well, we can't be a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot be a friend of God if we have any other master. If there's anyone else that we are going to love as a master and seek and serve as a master where he is not the only one, then we cannot be his disciple. We can't be a friend of God then. And we have a lot of other scriptures that emphasize and teach that same point. Luke chapter 16, verse 13. And here we can see that word hate that was used there in Luke 14, verse 26. That it is applied here in this context of as a master. It's an either-or situation when it comes to choosing who our master is going to be. In Luke 16, verse 13, Jesus said, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon being the meaning of that word is material things. So we can see it applies to things, as it applies also to people, including ourselves, which was what we saw in Luke 14, verse 26. So anyone else, anything else, as a master other than our Lord, if we're going to have the world or things or ourselves as our friend and not God, then we cannot be a friend of God. And Jesus had this issue with his brethren, his brothers in the flesh, when he was on the earth for a time. Now we learn later, all you have to do is read Acts chapter 1 and see that they were among his most fervent and dedicated, faithful disciples, his own brothers in the flesh that he had on this earth. And we all know about James and how he became one of the great leaders in the church in Jerusalem, was an elder in the church there in Jerusalem, James the brother of the Lord. But his brothers at the time that we're reading about in John chapter 7, at that point, they were still not looking at Jesus as who he really was. Here was this older brother that they had grown up with. What did the Lord say about prophets and their honor? A prophet is not without honor save in his own country and among those of his own household. And that happened to Jesus also, well, with the town of Nazareth. But also, as we can see within his own family, with his brothers here in John chapter 7, at least at this time until they overcame the temptations they had. But we can see the teachings of Christ that he was giving to his brothers at this time. John chapter 7, verses 2 through 7. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. And notice they don't identify themselves as such, thy disciples. Verse 4, For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Well, that was at this moment. And so in verse 6, Jesus said to them, My time is not come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. So at this time, what was the real problem that his brothers had? What was the real reason why they weren't believing in him? They were of the world at this point. And as being of the world was an obstacle to them being able to believe in and follow, well, their physical brother, but who was God's son. And to be able to recognize who he was, to believe in him and follow him. Which, as we noted, they did later. But in John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, John 15, 18 and 19, Jesus said, If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So the world hated Christ because he was not of the world. He was in it, but not of it. His prayer in John 17 is that we would be in it, but not of it. And if we're not of it, the world's going to hate us as it hated him. But if we're of the world, the world is going to love his own. So if we're a friend of the world, if we have friendship with the world, well, the world will be our friend. But then we have a problem with God. In James chapter 4, verse 4, he tells us what friendship with the world will do for us in our as far as our standing with God. James 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And over again, as we see the New Testament scriptures involving or using this word friend, it's philos in Greek. Philos is the word that means to be dear, to have affection for, which is actually the Hebrew word, the one that's used in Isaiah 48, 1 and verse 8 for Abraham, which means to have affection for. It means to be a friend of. And that's how it's translated into Greek, the word philos for Abraham in James 2 and verse 23. But all these other words we're looking at here, these other verses in the New Testament that speak about friendship, it's using that same word. But well, if we are a friend of the world, that's that word, then he says we're God's enemy. We can't be a friend of God and be a friend of the world too. We cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot serve God and then also ourselves as our master or anybody else. It's an either-or situation. So to be a friend of God, we have to decide that we are only going to serve him. That is absolutely required. Let's look one more verse here on this subject, 1 John 2:15 through 17. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We have to do God's will. And only do God's will to be a friend of God. Well, then the next part of this, to be a friend of God, if we're going to do the will of God, don't we need to know what that will is first? How are we going to do his will if we don't know his will? And how are we going to know his will if we don't love him and love his word? In John chapter 3, if we can turn there, John chapter 3. We all know verse 16 here in this particular chapter in John chapter 3. Verse 16 is one of the, if not the most famous verse in the New Testament, it's certainly among them. But John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Well, then he continues on, verses 8. A lot of times people stop at verse 16. Well, they'll start and stop at verse 16. We don't want to do that, but we also don't want to stop after verse 17. Let's look at 18 through 21. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. If we're going to be a friend of God, if we're going to be one who only seeks and serves God, and then we're going to come to the light. We're going to go to His Word, which is that light that shines. We're not going to run from that light because we're a friend of the world and we don't want to see that light because we love darkness. We're going to love that light. We're going to love that Word of God. We're going to seek to come to the light so that we can see whether our deeds are wrought in Him, because we should all desire to know that every one of our deeds is according to the will of God. Does the thought bother you? It bothers me. I believe it would bother, it should and must bother all of us if we're Christians, that there might be something in our lives that we're not aware of in which we're not doing according to the will of God. To think that there might be something there that I don't know about yet, that should be a very disturbing thought to each of us. So what do we do about that? We go to the light. We need to be going to that light, searching in that light, looking at ourselves in the spiritual mirror of God's Word, examining ourselves, looking at our deeds. Well, is what I'm doing here according to the will of God? And if we find that there's something that's not lining up with what God teaches, then we need to do something about that. We need to change our ways in that way. But we have to have a love for God's Word to do that. Well, as we look a little bit further down in John chapter 3, as we read some words of John the Baptist about this, how does this tie into friendship? Well, let's look at the words of John the Baptist, verses 28 and 29 of John 3. He says, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before Him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled." John loved the bridegroom's voice because he was a friend of the bridegroom. Well, Abraham was a friend of God. Did Abraham love God's Word? When he heard God's Word, he believed it and he did it. And his faith was counted to him for righteousness. We're told that numerous times about the life of Abraham. He loved the Word of God. He did it. Even as in Genesis 22, when God, by His Word, commanded him to offer his only son, Isaac, he still believed that Word, loved that Word, believed it, and obeyed it. Of course, God stopped him from killing his son, but Abraham was in the act of obeying that. But he loved what God said. He loved God. He loved His Word. He was a friend of God. Well, we need to be a friend of our Lord too. And so we need to love the voice of the bridegroom. And we should rejoice to hear His voice. Well, there's only one place we're going to hear it. And that's right here in the Scriptures, in God's Word. And if we are a friend of God, we're going to love His Word. We're going to come to it. Now, if we don't study God's Word, then what are we saying about His voice, His Word, and our regard for it? And then what are we saying then about ourselves as being a friend of God? So we need to think about those things. But in John chapter 6, we can see a little bit more on this. In verse 63, here's what Jesus said about his own word. John chapter 6 and verse 63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." That's what His Word is. Well, do we love that? Well, we should love that. And if we're a friend, if we're His friend, we are going to love His voice and those words that He has given to us, that are those words that are spirit and life. Verse 66 tells us that from that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, was Peter the Lord's friend? He loved Him and he loved His voice. Who are we going to go to? Who else What other master would there be? What other voice would there be for him to listen to, for any of us to listen to? And this is also what Jesus himself speaks about in John chapter 10, as he's in this chapter describing himself as that good shepherd of the sheep. Well, the sheep are going to love the voice of the shepherd and listen to that voice and not listen to any other. So being a friend of our Lord and being his sheep, we're going to have, it's going to require the same characteristic here that he's describing. Let's read now from John 10, 1 through 5. John 10, 1 through 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Well, that ties together the first two points we've looked at this morning. That we're only going to be his friend and not the friend of any other, and that we're going to love his voice, love his word. Well, that's what he's describing right there. For his sheep, we're going to hear his voice, we're going to listen to him, and not to any other. Well, what are we going to do then when we hear his voice? Well, we're going to obey it. If we love him, if we're his friend, we're not going to just listen to it to hear the sound of his words. We're going to listen to his word with a love for it that we're going to then obey what he's told us. What good is it to hear but not do? Well, this is the subject of James chapter 1, verses 22 through 26. James 1, 22 through 26. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So the Lord tells us, teaches us there that being a hearer of the word and not a doer, that's akin to some looking in a mirror and then not doing anything about what you see in the mirror, then going away and forgetting what you just saw. But if we're going to look in the mirror here, and that's what he's comparing it to, this mirror, this spiritual mirror, as we see ourselves, going again back to John 3, that light that is shining on us and our deeds. Well, we want to come to that light. We want to come to this mirror, look in there, look at our deeds. And then when we hear his word out of a love for the voice of the bridegroom, our shepherd, we're going to hear those words. And then as we do, we're going to do what he says if we're going to be a friend of the Lord. In James chapter 2, the very text in which we read about Abraham being a friend of God or reminded of that, let's look at that example of Abraham here in this context of James 2, verses 20 through 24. Being a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Having a living faith, which is a faith that works, which is not a dead faith. James 2, 20 through 24. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Do we see the connection here with Abraham and his life, his obedience to God, and being called the friend of God? To be a friend of God, we have to do his will. We can't just hear his word and not do it. We can't just believe in what he said but not do it. We have to hear his word, believe his word, and then do his word. We have to have those works of obedience for our faith to be made complete like Abraham's in order to be his friend. Well, this is exactly what Jesus taught about friendship in John chapter 15. Let's go to the Gospel of John chapter 15. And let's read from there. Verses 13 and 14. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So Jesus spells it out plainly right there. Do we want to be a friend of His? There's a song that we sing, I'll be a friend of Jesus. Well, do we need to be? We must be. But in order to be His friend, what are we going to do? We can't just say with our mouths, well, we love Jesus Christ. We believe He's His Son and we love Him. Lots of people say, I love Jesus. Well, we have to, but how do we demonstrate that that's true? That we love Him? If you love Me, keep My commandments, He said in John 14:15. That was the previous chapter. Well, here in John chapter 15 and verse 14, He says, you're My friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So to love Him and to be His friend, we have to obey Him. We have to do what He has taught us to do. So we have to decide He's going to be our friend. There's not going to be another. He's going to be the only one that we listen to. We're going to love His voice, seek to hear Him, but then when we hear Him, we're going to do what He has said. Now, of course, that does involve communication, which is a big part of this subject of friendship as taught in God's Word. In John chapter 15 and verse 15, the very next verse here, Jesus said, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard of My Father, I have made known unto you. Now this is showing the Lord in His friendship towards us when we believe in Him. Well, verse 13, did He lay down His life for His friends? He's laid down His life for us. What else has He done as a measure of His friendship? Not only laying down His life, but He says that a servant doesn't know what his Lord is doing. But Jesus has called us His friends. Why? He says, because all things that I've heard of My Father I've made known to you. So He has revealed to us all things from His Father. Now what of God's will are we not able to know through His Son Jesus Christ? He has revealed it all. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness here. So a friend is going to communicate the things that he's doing. This is exactly what God said about Abraham, the one that He referred to and called His friend. Well, Abraham was a friend of God, but God showed that to Abraham also in Genesis chapter 18. If we turn there, Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, it says there that Jehovah, the Lord, that's the word Yahweh, appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent, the tent door in the heat of the day. I guess a little bit further down where he used the word Yahweh, but this is the Lord appearing to Abraham. And as He appears to him there in the plains of Mamre, then it tells us a little bit further down in verse 17 when we see what, and there was a lot that He said to him. But first He's repeating that promise that He was going to give him Isaac. Sarah laughed when she heard that. But of course the Lord said that was the way it was, that's what He was going to do. But then we get to verse 16. It says, and the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. So there were three here, it tells us. One of them is Jehovah, and the other two, well, we learn are angels, because in verse 19, those two angels came to Lot's, the door of Lot's house in Sodom. So there was the Lord, and He had these two angels that were sent for the purpose of destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is where Abraham's nephew, Lot, lived. Well, did Abraham know what was about to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, how would he know? There was only one way he could know, and that would be for the Lord to tell him. Well, here was a friend of God, and so in verse 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And the rest of the chapter then describes Abraham's pleas with the Lord to spare the city if he can find even 10 righteous souls in that city. Of course, he couldn't. It ended up being Lot and two daughters. Four went out, and Abraham's wife, or Lot's wife rather, was turned into the pillar of salt when she looked back. So the only three survived. There weren't even 10, not even half of that. But God did not hide from Abraham what he was going to do. He was called a friend of God, so God revealed and told him what he was going to do, just like Jesus was with his disciples. God has revealed his will, his word to us. And we see that as one of the defining characteristics of friendship. We need to be a friend of God. He is showing his friendship towards us when we choose to be his friend, that he reveals his word to us. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. I wish we had more time because there are a lot of Proverbs that speak and teach on this subject that can help us to understand so much more about being a friend of God. There's a lot in God's Word we're trying to cram into just a short amount of time this morning. But Proverbs chapter 27, let's read verses 9 and 10. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. Well, we can see this principle exercised by God towards us when we are his friend. So he's showing that he is our friend as he does give us that hearty counsel. He does teach us and reveal to us all things of his will. We have the opportunity to know all of that. We learn a lot from this, and we can also see and need to see how this needs to be reciprocated from our standpoint towards God as we want to consider how God can commands us and teaches us how we need to go to him and pray to him in all things. So he's revealed all things to us. We need to go to him in prayers. We want to see again in just a moment. But we can see again that this is how things go in a friendship. There is that hearty counsel that is between friends is something that is very much a blessing, and that must not be forsaken. We can't forsake that with God either. In Hebrews chapter 13, we know that God is not going to forsake us as his friend. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, he says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." The Lord promises he will never leave us nor forsake us. So he's not going to forsake us as his friend. If we're seeking him and we're living for him, if we're going to be his friend, he is certainly going to be our faithful friend, and he won't forsake us. Now, in 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 2, he says, if you forsake me, I will forsake you. So if we stop being his friend, well, he's no longer going to be ours. He will forsake us then. But if we don't forsake him, he's not going to forsake us. When we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, concerning God and revealing his will to us, there's no veil there. There's nothing to hide anything of God's will to us, as we were reading in John 15, as Christ said. He's shown us all things that he does and that his Father's has of his will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, he says, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished." So he's contrasting that glory of the New Testament with that of the Old, and the glory of the Old Testament. He's describing what happened in Exodus chapter 34 when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, and his face was shining brilliantly, but the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold it. He had to put a veil over his face. They could only see that glory through a veil. And it didn't endure. I mean, Moses' face didn't shine like that forever. And so he says the glory of the New Testament is not like that in both those ways. There's no veil. And it endures forever. It's eternal, not temporal. So we get to verse 18. He says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord." So that's what the Lord has done for us, as he has called us his friends. So he's revealed to us all things. Openly, we can go and see his glory as in a glass. for the purpose that we can then be changed into the same image from glory to glory. So he's not hiding any of these things from us of his nature that we can know so that we can be like him in all ways. That's his purpose for us. But as we noted, we need to then also heed what he has told us, and we need to show that we're his friend. Another way we can do that as part of doing his will is to pray to him like he's taught us to. Now, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24 reminds us of another important principle of friendship that applies here. But Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Well, God is our friend. We need to show ourselves friendly. He's communicated to us. We need to communicate with him, and he's taught us to do that. That's also in that same context in John chapter 15 that we were looking at a little bit ago. In John chapter 15, in verse 15, we read 13, 14, and 15. But verse 16, he continues on there. He says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." So in verse 15, he said he calls us his friends because all things that he had heard of his Father he's made known to us. But the very next verse, we need to ask for all things of the Father in the name of Christ, the one whose friend we need to be by doing whatever he has taught us to do. And this is part of what he's taught us to do. In Luke chapter 11, let's turn over to Luke chapter 11. And this is when his disciples were seeking to know more of the will of God about praying. Luke chapter 11, let's begin in verse 1 there. "It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples.' And he said unto them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.' And he said unto them, 'Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." We have to ask, we have to seek, we have to knock. He's teaching us to do that and to do so with importunity. Well, that gives the example of someone who is a friend is going to go to his friend. Even at midnight, when he has another friend that has come, if he needs something, we can also ask our questions, ask the question of ourselves. Well, we need to love one another. What would happen if somebody called us at midnight for something? How do we respond? Here he's talking about the Lord. I mean, that's a good thing to think about. Are we being a friend as we should? Are we somebody that would be that would respond to a need? It doesn't matter when. We can't just say that. We need to do that. But God is like that. If we'll be a friend to him, we're going to go to him and make requests and do so with importunity. That means continually to do that and not stop, which is the very thing that the Lord also taught in the same Gospel of Luke. In chapter 18, starting in verse 1 there, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him and saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Well, he needs to find that faith in us that we will go to God. He's revealed all things to us, and he desires that we go to him and not faint, not stop, to continue to seek him, to continue to communicate with him, to give him, to express to him our desires and our requests. He commands this also in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. If we can go there, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, the Lord commands us to, in everything, let our requests be made known to Him. And not just once, but He says continually, not to faint, not to quit. If we're going to be His friend, we need to do that. We need to communicate with Him in that way, as He's commanded us to do that. The answer may not come immediately, what we're desiring. We could go back to the book of Job, and Job, he was in physical straits and was in a miserable state. We can read in that book for months. It was going on, and he continually asked the Lord, was beseeching Him in prayer. He wasn't getting His answer day after day, week after week, month after month even. But he finally received that pity and mercy from the Lord. It didn't happen immediately, but he didn't quit either. He continued in his prayers and making his requests known to God. But we do also need to recognize this is also connected to our earlier point, to be His friend. He says, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." To have our requests heard by Him, where He grants us our requests, we do need to be obedient unto Him. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. 1 John 3 verse 22. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." Well, what are the two major things that we can do in order to have our prayers heard, according to what we've just studied this morning? Well, number one, do His will. If we're keeping His commandments, He's going to be inclined to hear. But the other thing is to ask, to go to Him and pray, and not to quit, not to faint. So we need to be a friend of God. We need to demonstrate that by our service to Him, seeking Him, obeying Him. And as He has communicated to us all things of His will, we need to be reminded as His friend, we need to heed Him. We need to make our request known to Him in all things, and never, never to faint. Never forsake Him, because He will never forsake us. Now, this is an opportunity right now for anyone that's here and has not yet become His friend. You can start by keeping His commandments that He's given to you and how you can become His child. We become a children of God by our faith in Christ Jesus. That's Galatians 3, verse 26. But it's not faith only, as we already read earlier in James 2, which is why the very next verse in Galatians 3, verse 27 says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So in obedient faith, when we believe in Christ and we are then baptized into Him, that's how we become children of God. That's how we put on Christ. That's how we become a Christian, which is why it tells us in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Jesus also said in Mark 16:16, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." So we need to hear the words of our friend, our master, and we need to love that voice and show it by obeying Him. Are you ready to obey those commandments this morning so that you can become a child of God, that you can then become a friend of God by doing His will? If you are a Christian, and if you've not been His friend in your life by not doing His will, this is an opportunity for you to repent also. So anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation at this time, please do so while we stand together and sing.